Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Okay, welcome to a special edition of MHR Radio. Ian and I joined Evan Winter of Bucks Nation to do a way too early preview of the Broncos Week 3 matchup with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So sit back and enjoy a way too early preview of a game that will happen in Week 3 of the 2020 NFL season.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Season 2, Episode 10 of the North and South Podcast, where we bring you thoughts and ideas from all different directions. I'm your host, Evan Winter. Find me on Twitter at Evan underscore Winter. That's E-V-A-N underscore W-I-N-T-E-R. Don't forget to lowercase all the letters and don't forget the underscore. Brought to you by the good folks over at SBNation.com and BucksNation.com. Those are the fires that have forged this podcast. And yes, we are here. We have arrived at week three of the Way Too Early Game Series preview. And I am fortunate enough and lucky enough to have not one, but two guests on today, both guys from Mile High Report and Mile High Radio. That is Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Guys, thank y'all both so much for coming on. Whoever won wants to kind of duck in first and say what's up. Thanks for coming on. How are y'all doing?
Doing great, man. It's kind of fun to be talking football, especially considering sort of where we're at right now.
Yeah, for sure. And how you doing, Ian?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's good to be talking, as Adam said, football, and talking a week three matchup that should be a lot of fun come the regular season, and it's even better for Broncos country and the Broncos that the game will be played in Denver.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be doing this podcast. This episode of this podcast. For some reason, I've always had this link to the Broncos. I'm not necessarily a fandom, but it all started in fourth grade when I was the only one to pick them to beat the Packers in the Super Bowl. We had this thing where the class all turned in their selections. I was literally the only one and got it right, obviously. And then Al Wilson came along, played for y'all for a good while. And then Peyton Manning. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, obviously, Tennessee Volunteers fan. And then now it's Jarrell Casey and A.J. Johnson up there as well. So I've always had a reason to pay attention to the Broncos. So I'm excited to talk to y'all about this. But before we get started, I'm going to do a quick overview. So far right now, as the spread stands in Vegas, the Bucks are a one-point favorite. The series history is the Broncos lead 7-2. The Broncos have won the last four, and the Bucks haven't beat the Broncos since 1999. The overall record may not be that close. Like I said, the Broncos lead 7-2 all time, but six of the nine games have been decided by 8 points or less, and those games averaged around a four-point winning margin. But now the other three games, the Broncos won by an average score of 17 points, so it can be a little volatile from time to time. Before we get started, I didn't do this the first two episodes, so this is kind of a new thing. But the good thing about my first two episodes were they were division games, so I'll have those guys back on, so I'll be able to ask them this question. But Adam, we'll start with you, and then Ian, you can fall in after that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think of an orange dreamsicle. I love those old jerseys with the fancy pirate. Like I always, that's sort of how I always dubbed him in my mind. Was he wasn't a pirate, right? When you think of a pirate, you think of like Jack Sparrow or you know, right, something like that, you know, or the you know Blackbeard, those guys, right? The pirate on that helmet was like this fancy pirate from I don't know, some 18th century castle that he just didn't really look like a pirate to me. And I love dreamsicles. They're delicious. So, and then besides that, if I'm going into more of a football direction than that, I think of Warren Sapp. That's the guy who in my mind has always stood out as, he was sort of a larger than life character, his entire career. I think of that butt dance that he did when he scored that touchdown. Those are the things that sort of run through my mind when I think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
For me, it's grateful to the organization for beating the Raiders the last time they were in the Super Bowl. So I will forever be a Bucs fan just because of that. I will be a fan of any team that beats a division rival in a Super Bowl. That's why I don't like the San Francisco 49ers. It's another reason to hate the 49ers, not just because of what they did to the Broncos in the Super Bowl, but because they couldn't beat the Chiefs. So I will forever be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan just for the fact that the last time the Oakland Raiders were in the Super Bowl, now the Las Vegas Raiders, they lost because of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it wasn't just a close game. It was a beatdown. So I love Tampa Bay.
Well, if you hate San Francisco, Ian, I'll give you another reason why I love Tampa Bay. That year Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, they beat the 49ers in the playoffs. It's the only time in 49ers playoff history that they've never scored a touchdown in a game. The score was 31-6, if I remember correctly. So, hey, I mean, just giving you all kinds of reasons to love the boys over here in pewter and red. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into these matchups to watch. Ian, we'll kind of snake back around. Obviously, we'll talk. It can be between the headsets, players on the field. You know, it can be whatever you think or whatever your heart desires. Who or what is one matchup that you're going to be watching for this game as of today? If this game was played this weekend, what would you be watching for?
Obviously, it's the battle between the headsets, between Bruce Arians and Vic Fangio. They're both old school guys. They've been around the NFL a long time. And they bring different personalities and different strengths to the table. But I think they're very similar, even though that they one's an offensive genius, the other is a defensive genius. So that alone is going to make this game that much more interesting. And then there's two more on the field. What is Von Miller and Bradley Chubb going to be able to do to get pressure on Tom Brady? Because the last time Von Miller played Tom Brady, he completely wrecked Tom Brady. When you add in DeMarcus Ware and Derek Wolfe from that AFC Championship game in the 2015 playoffs, that's going to be something that's going to determine whether or not the Broncos or Tampa Bay has success in this game. And then the other one is, what is Vic Fangio and this defense going to do to try to slow down Rob Gronkowski? Even if Rob Gronkowski hasn't played in 1 or 2 years, he is still one of the best tight ends ever. He has a rapport with Tom Brady. Bruce Arians is going to find a way to exploit that weakness in the Broncos defense. So what are Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, and that defense going to do to try to limit the damage of Rob Gronkowski? Because the no-fly zone, if you look back at that 2015 AFC Championship game, when New England started to make its comeback, and even on that 2-point conversion where Gronk was wide open and Brady missed him, the Broncos could not stop Rob Gronkowski. And that was with the no-fly zone. This secondary has some question marks, and especially in terms of depth. And they can't cover tight ends. You mentioned Al Wilson to lead into this. The Broncos haven't had a middle linebacker since Al Wilson left. There's hope that A.J. Johnson is the guy, and he'll be able to come in after that first season and get used to Vic Fangio and this defense and what he's going to be capable of and potentially make that next step. But those, to me, those are the three areas that I think are going to determine whether or not Tampa Bay walks out of Denver with a win, or if the Broncos are able to do what they've done in the past, and that's beat Tom Brady in Denver.
I mean, the cupboard is bare. What do I say? No, actually, the other matchup that I think, and it goes back to that secondary that Ian was just talking about, and I've mentioned this on our show many times. Last season, I essentially became a fantasy football champion because I had both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin on my team for fantasy football, and it was great to have them because they were an incredible wide receiver tandem. And if you look at the secondary, like Ian said, there's a few holes in there. I don't want to call them holes, but there's definitely question marks. We don't know what Bryce Callahan is going to be for the Denver Broncos because he hasn't played because of an injury. We don't know what AJ Boye is going to be, although we have a pretty good idea. because he's new to Denver's system. And so that right there, those are your top two cornerbacks. We know what Justin Simmons is. We know what Kareem Jackson is as far as the safeties go. I think that the loss of Will Parks leaves some questions as far as what it'll look like in nickel, dime, those kinds of scenarios. But how will they match up with Chris Godwin and oh my gosh, what just happened to my brain?
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, thank you. How will they match up with those two wide receivers? And now you throw in Gronk. You throw Gronk into that mix. It is certainly going to be a matchup issue for Denver. And so it will be important to see how Vic Fangio schemes for those guys. That's the place where I think Tampa Bay could they could sort of exploit some things in against the Broncos and perhaps use that to their advantage and maybe even slide in for a victory in a tough place like Denver.
So stick with you, Adam, real quick, and then Ian, you can bounce in after this. How hard is Vic Fangio's defense to learn? Is it kind of like a Todd Bowles defense where you expect a lot of lumps early on and then some pretty exceptional progress in year two? Or is it, you know, I mean, exactly, kind of let the people who are listening or Tampa Bay fans kind of know what his defense is about?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I do think that he's got a somewhat complex defense in that it's all about assignments, and you have to know what your assignment is. It's not as simple in the secondary as that man-to-man matchup where you just stick your guy, and that's something that, as Ian talked about with the no-fly zone, which we don't really call them the no-fly zone anymore because they're not. You know, Chris Harris was the last member of the no-fly zone to still be around, but they were just a straight-up man. They were going to get in your face, and they were going to sort of own you sort of group, whereas now it's a little bit more zone. And so it's about knowing where you're supposed to be, knowing when you're supposed to pass your guy off. And so that takes a little bit of time. I do think that the complexity of it in the secondary is made up for in the fact that it's not, I don't want to say it's simple up front, but there's a pretty a simple guideline there where it looks like it's about the guys in the middle up front sort of creating space for people like a Von Miller or a Bradley Chubb to get in at the quarterback, or AJ Johnson and Todd Davis, who I just wrote an article on Todd Davis yesterday, who talked about the complexity and the need to understand. And it's more about the mindset than it is about the physicality. Every guy on that field is an athletic freak to some degree. And so it's about understanding what your role is. And we make this joke all the time, you know, when we talk about like Bill Belichick, do your job. This Vic Fangio defense is exactly that. It's all about doing your job. And so I think in year two, for the guys that were in Denver in 2019, they're going to be that much better. And that's going to help the new guys coming in. Not everybody is going to be learning a brand new defense. So it does take some time to pick up, but I think there is an advantage in having it be year two under Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell.
I think with this defense, it's understanding Vic Fangio because he is a demanding head coach. And when you look at the jump that the Broncos made from Vance Joseph to Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph is more of a guy who wants to be your buddy. Vic Fangio doesn't care about that. He wants you to play football. He wants you to do your job. And now that they know what he's about, they get an idea and they know what his defense is about. Adam touched on it. With the secondary, it's not about if you can play man-to-man or you play zone. It's about coverages. It's about your job, knowing that whatever it's called, you know what to do. That you're not going to be caught with your pants down. And there were a couple of times for this defense last year that they were caught with their pants down. Now they have the mindset and the knowledge of what Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell are about and what they expect. Because the expectations are high. The expectations have always been high in Denver, but they're high with Vic Fangio, and especially when it comes to defense. So I think that's one way that it took some time, because it takes time to get to know a coach and what he's about and what he expects on top of the complex defense that he runs. But to dumb it down, I think the thing about Vic Fangio's defense is that every single person on the field, whether you're a starter or you're a backup, you know your role. You know everything and anything about your position. And you should know what everyone else in your position group is supposed to do when something is called. That's why the expectations are so high with Vic Fangio, because it's not about on field. As Adam said, at this point, everyone in the NFL can play. What do you do in the classroom? What do you do to get prepared in the playbook to know everything that's going to come your way? And that's what I think Todd Bowles probably is the same kind of defensive coordinator, and that's the expectation, that if you're on the field and something is called, you better do your job and you better do it as well as I expect you to.
Yeah, the secondary, it intrigues me a lot, because I feel like if Bryce Callahan can be what he was in Chicago, and I'm not saying there's no guarantee that happens or anything, and if Boye can be what he was in Jacksonville and Houston, and then obviously you've got Justin Simmons, who I'm a huge fan of back there. He's obviously a franchise player, and it could really benefit this front seven. And that's kind of bleeds into my matchup that I'm going to be watching, is Von Miller versus these Tampa Bay tackles. Obviously, Donovan Smith, he's a sixth-year player, but he still has a lot of question marks about his game. And then you're going to have Tristan Wirfs on the right side, who's going to be matched up with Miller most of the time, because from what I've noticed, he plays on the left side of the defense more often than he does the right. But either way, when he does get matched up on Donovan Smith, that's going to be interesting to watch too. And like you guys said, Brady has really struggled in Mile High, and I feel like this is going to be one of the biggest tests for this offensive line, even though they do have to go against the Saints front seven in week one. One of the other things I'm going to be watching for, and this is, I'm just going to be selfish on this one, is Mike Munchak's offensive line, man. I've always thought he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. Obviously, he's from Tennessee, so there's a little bit of bias there. But, man, has he come in and lived up to expectations so far? And, y'all, and we'll start with you, Ian, and bounce back to Adam.
I think it's going to be one of those things where everyone knows what Mike Munchak brings to the table. And you throw in Chris Cooper with that. Chris Cooper is one of the best offensive linemen the last decade or so for Denver. With Mike Munchak, whether it's right or wrong, he is going to be judged on the success of a certain left tackle in Denver, which basically no one likes, except for Pro Football Focus, which is just bizarre.
I noticed that. I noticed. I was like, I could have swore Bowles had some issues last year. I was like, but maybe I was wrong.
And apparently the only outlet that doesn't think he had issues was Pro Football Focus. So right or wrong, Munchak is going to be judged by what he's able to do with Garrett Bowles. And I think Adam and I have touched on this on our podcast before, one area that helps dramatically with Garrett Bowles and any offensive lineman is quarterback play. Garrett Bowles has been hurt by the fact that he has played with some bad quarterbacks: Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen. Most of those guys aren't going to help their quarterback. They'll hold the ball too long, they'll make bad decisions, all that stuff. And when you're a bad offensive tackle to begin with, that's only going to be expanded upon because of the quarterback play. Now that he has Drew Lock, we saw it over the five games. It wasn't necessarily that Garrett Bowles was better, but Drew Lock was better. And that's – so right or wrong, Munchak is going to be tied to Garrett Bowles. Whether or not he can get any better, I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. But that's one area that's going to be very interesting in this game, is what Todd Bowles in that front seven, especially Shaq Barrett, who my wife absolutely loves. She met him a few times through her job. Shaq Barrett is a stud, and for whatever reason, it's going to be forever that John Elway let him leave for Tampa Bay. And as everyone says, who are you not going to start, Von Miller or Bradley Chubb, to get Shaq Barrett to start? So that's going to be a very interesting matchup. And what Garrett Bowles and hopefully Juwan James, if he's healthy, though he probably just got hurt again, or Elijah Wilkinson, are able to do to contain that pass rush, and especially Shaq Barrett. So Munchak has I think you can tell that he's already made a difference. And I think much like Fangio, this second year, you'll be able to see the strides and the work that were put in the first year that you didn't necessarily see in that first year. You'll be able to see it this second season.
You know, the other thing, and just to kind of chime in here about Mike Munchak, the other thing is he has what I would call a pretty solid interior offensive line to work with.
Definitely.
Dalton Reisner, who was an incredible player for the Broncos in his rookie year, is going to be in year two, which, again, when you're in year two, you've been in the system for a while, that's going to make him that much better. Graham Glasgow was a pretty good signing in the offseason as far as free agents go, because he's going to also improve that interior offensive line. And then the drafting of Lloyd Cushenberry with, again, the 83rd pick, a guy who could have gone early second round. That's where a lot of people projected him, and the Broncos got him, what was it, 83rd is like mid to late third round. Like, there's no way the Broncos should have been able to wait that long for this guy, and they were. And I just see immediate improvement on the interior based on those moves, and then those three guys get to work with, as you said, perhaps the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the NFL. Ian's right. The issue is going to be a tackle, left tackle and right tackle both. I try not to say Juwan James's name because I'm afraid that his name will get into the ether and it will somehow get into his ear and his knee will buckle or something. But because he's injury prone, I think I made that point. And Garrett Bowles is not a football player, in my opinion. I've sort of maintained this throughout the last couple of seasons. He is a big, strong bully, which is great. He wants to throw people around. He wants to be angry and mean and scary, and he is all of those things. But he is not a football player. And so the test that Mike Munchak has, and I know as a teacher for my day job, I know how this goes. When you've got a guy who just is struggling to learn something, that's the test, right? Can Mike Munchak sort of teach him the things that he needs to learn to be a good offensive lineman? And obviously his time in college, he wasn't expected to learn to be a good offensive lineman. He was expected to be a bully, and he was good at it. And I think he's good at it now. If you watch any time a defensive player gives, you know, our quarterback, the Denver Broncos quarterback, a little bit too much, he's right there. He's right there, and he's right on top of him, and he's ready to sort of protect his guy, which I love that about him. I don't have a problem with Garrett Bowles, the guy. He's a good guy who wants to be a good football player, who wants to be the starting left tackle for the Denver Broncos. Now it's about where does he put his hands? What does he do with his feet? Is he capable of you know, pushing an edge rusher off so that Drew Lock can step up into the hole without grabbing a guy? Because that's always been his go-to. When he panics, he just latches on. So Mike Munchak has his work cut out for him with Garrett Bowles. Juwan James is a good lineman. He just can't stay healthy. So you've got a solid interior, and you've got big question marks on the outside at offensive line. And Mike Munchak, I believe he can fix those problems. But, you know, if you're a chef and you're given, you know, spoiled ingredients, you're going to make spoiled food. That's just all there is to it. So he's going to do what he can, and it will be – this is Garrett Bowles' year to prove whether or not he can make those adjustments and become – a solid starting left tackle in the NFL, or if he is going to have to figure it out with another team.
It just sounds so much like Tampa Bay's offensive line, solid interior, questions at tackles with a guy at left tackle that has everything to prove.
Apparently playing tackle is not easy.
No, apparently not. I guess that's why they make so much damn money. And that honestly leads perfectly into the impact players. Usually I'd let y'all start off, but I feel like this is just too much of a perfect segue to pass up. My impact players, I'm going to cheat just a little bit, but the Bucs interior offensive line. And obviously that's the core, the strength of this offensive line. But I'm going to kind of look at it a little bit negatively. Ryan Jensen, the third the third highest rated center last year, who outside of PFF, he did have a very good year last year, had one of the worst games of his year last year versus Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons in Tennessee. So Casey's quickness is really tough for him. Jensen, kind of like Bowles, likes to bully people around, move them around. Casey's real quick, squatty guy. that's going to be really interesting to me to see how they can protect against this Broncos interior, which obviously with if they can get any kind of push will help those guys out on the edge in Chubb and Miller. So, Adam, we'll start with you. Who is your impact players? And then Ian, obviously, follow up whenever he's over with.
So, on defense, I think for the Broncos, it's got to be and I'm just gonna take the guy who is the best defensive player on the field, and that's Von Miller. I have no doubt in my mind that at least for me, if he can disrupt the game, if he can get he's got and Ian talked about it a little bit, he's just got some sort of magnet that is attached to Tom Brady, and he just wants to just destroy that guy, and he has. That's been sort of his MO. And I know that, you know, he's getting a little older, but what we have seen from him is a little more intelligence on the football field. And he's always been a real smart football player, but he's had you know, he's got great bend, he's got incredible off the ball speed. He is he's one of the best defensive players Denver has ever had, and that's saying a lot. Denver's had some great defensive players, but if he can impact the game, if he can be so disruptive to Tom Brady, who you know, Tom Brady's old, man, he's older than I am, which means he's got a lot of years. He's not as mobile as you might think. He's got good footwork, but what we've seen is Von Miller has been able to really disrupt what Tom Brady likes to do. So if he can do that, I think he's going to have the most impact on defense for the Broncos.
For me, defensively, it's going to be Jarrell Casey, because as much as Von Miller loves to wreck Tom Brady, he has to have an interior pass rush. And yep. I think for the first time since Malik Jackson left for Jacksonville after the Super Bowl, the Broncos have a guy who's going to be able to consistently do that. So to me, it's Jarrell Casey, because as you mentioned, Evan, one of the strengths of the Tampa Bay offensive line is the interior. So what is Jarrell Casey going to be able to do against that interior? And is he going to be able to get consistent push up the field, whether it's to stop the run game or to get after Tom Brady? Because if the interior rush is there, that's what's going to allow Von Miller and Bradley Chubb to not only hit and pressure Tom Brady, but sack him and hopefully create turnovers in the process.
Usually I don't like to say teams won or lost a trade. You know, that's obviously subjective. It can always be debated. But Denver absolutely won that trade. I am still upset to this day that the Titans let Casey go for peanuts like that. I thought maybe they would use the money to go after Jadeveon Clowney, which would have been okay, or maybe to re-sign Logan Ryan, but they obviously haven't done that. So I'm just kind of sitting here like, what the hell, man? But a lot of the speculation around here is because with the salary cap uncertainty next year, they don't know what they're going to do with Derrick Henry, which obviously you could franchise him again. But anyway, I digress. Yes, Denver definitely won that trade. Before we take this quick commercial break, though, I've got one hidden impact player, and that's Mile High Stadium. Tom Brady, if my math is correct, and I'm sure y'all will be able to tell me if it is or isn't, is 3-7 over his career at Mile High?
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I tried to look it up on Football Database. I didn't know if he played in the 2000 season, so I just went from 2001 to now. And based off of that, he's 3-7. So, all right, we'll leave with that quick thought in everybody's mind. We'll take this commercial break, and we'll be right back with bold predictions and final score prediction. All right, coming in on the back end again, I have with me Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair of Mile High Report and Mile High Radio. Coming in the back end of the way too early game preview series versus the Broncos in week 3. And now we're about to drop some quick bold predictions and a final score prediction before we head on out of here. Ian, we'll let you start off first. What's your bold prediction for this game?
My bold prediction is it's not necessarily bold. That may lead into it. But I think Von Miller is going to come away with a hat trick of sacks. And I think as a team, the Broncos will have 7.
Woo!
But Tom Brady is going to get sacked 7 times. And the reason I base that is because I think Jarrell Casey is going to have a huge impact on this game. And I think you're going to see the orange rush as the shirt that Adam is wearing right now, which celebrates the pass rush of the Broncos of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, is going to be benefited greatly by the presence of Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, I mean, how do I out-bold that? You know what I love about bold predictions is I don't have to be right. And Ian will tell you that every time we've done bold predictions for any game, I've always been so far off that it's like it's almost laughable. I'm gonna go to the offensive side of the football, though. I'm gonna go offense here. My bold prediction is that Drew Lock will throw for 4 touchdowns and the Broncos will score over 35 points, which is, if you know anything about the Broncos offense of the last 6 seasons, I mean, really since even before they won the Super Bowl in 2015, their offense has been shaky at best. So just putting up that many points, I feel like there's excitement around Drew Lock, and I want to sort of continue that excitement. And it is way too early, like you've said, to really know what's going to happen. But I'm going to go with 4 touchdown passes for Drew Lock and over 35 points for the Denver Broncos in this game. Which I think sort of will help you see where I'm going with my prediction for the game.
I'll add a quick addendum to my bold prediction. I think Shaq Barrett will also get 3 sacks in this game and match Von Miller, because Garrett Bowles ain't blocking or holding Shaquille Barrett.
Well, Ian, I think you just helped a lot of the Bucks fans recover from the PTSD that Adam gave them when it comes to the Bucks history against young quarterbacks. And hey, I mean, dude, there's a lot to like about this Denver offense. I mean, you've got obviously a 3-headed monster at running back. You've got 2 unknown but 2 very promising receivers in Jerry Jeudy and what's the kid who's going to play slot? KJ Hamler, yeah. I think, right?
Hamler, yep. KJ Hamler.
And then obviously you got Courtland Sutton still in there. And then you've got Noah Fant at tight end, drafted the kid out of Missouri, who I'm not even trying to pronounce his last name. And still don't know what they're going to do with Jeff Howerman, I believe. Is that how you pronounce his
Hireman,
last name?
Hireman. Yeah.
Okay. But he still has some value here. And he's kind of like the Cam Brate of the Broncos, in my opinion. So my bold prediction is the Bucs are going to score 20 points or less. I do not like the matchup against this defense. I do not like the matchup with Tom Brady at Mile High. And my God, if he gets sacked 7 times, I don't know if he's going to survive. It's going to be Blaine Gabbert show, I have a feeling. So I'm guessing we all 3 might be agreeing on this outcome of this game. So Ian, give us your final score prediction.
I think it's going to be a really close game. Like, I legitimately think it could come down to the last drive. Whoever has it could potentially drive to kick the winning field goal. I think that's going to be what how close the game will be. And I'll give the Broncos a slight edge just because it's at home, and 2 of the quarterbacks that Tom Brady has beat in Denver are Tim Tebow and Trevor Siemian, and I believe the other one is Danny Cannell. So I'm going to put Drew Lock slightly above those 3 guys, and I'll give the Broncos a slight edge. I think they win 23-20.
Oh, all right. I'll jump in here with my prediction. Danny, you got to remember Danny Cannell. That guy, solid.
Man,
Danny Cannell. That was fun. I'm predicting big points for the Broncos. I do also agree, though, with Ian that this is going to be close. As much as I think that the defenses could tee off a little bit here, I don't know that that's going to limit the amount of points that both teams score. And I go back to the Chris Godwin and Mike Evans issue and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, the one question I think that sort of hampers the Bucks as far as their offense is what is their running game able to do as far as ball control. And so I think Denver is going to come away with a pretty big win. I'm going to go 38-28. I'm going to go 10 points there, but I do think the Bucks can get 4 touchdowns out of the deal. Again, Drew Lock is a young quarterback, and as much as we are as excited as we are about him, he's going to be in his second year, and we all know about that sophomore slump, and I know it's really just his first year as a starter. But this is the year that I think guys make mistakes that will cost their team points, especially a quarterback. And it's going to be a new offensive system for Drew Lock. So I think that'll hamper him a little bit. So he'll struggle some, but I'm going 38-28 Denver. I don't think it's a huge blowout, but a little bit of a blowout.
So what I'm doing is I'm taking the predictions of my guests that come on, and that's going to be the Bucks record at the end of all of this. So as it stands right now with y'all's two final score predictions, the Bucks are now 1-2 on the season with their only win over Carolina, which is honestly what I expect because I also have Tampa Bay losing this game. Final score, Broncos 21, Bucks with those 20 points. I think there's going to be a big play on defense from the Broncos, probably a pick six, you know, fumble recovery, something like that, from likely a sack. And then Drew Lock's going to do Drew Lock in that running game. Melvin Gordon, I feel like, will have a big game. They'll do just enough to win this game and get out with a victory and send Bucks Twitter into an absolute tailspin at 1-2 on the season. So, guys, thank y'all again so much for coming on. Before we head out, let everybody know where they can find y'all and all the good stuff. Go and plug all your work. Very good stuff. I was listening to y'all's last podcast about whether the Broncos was going to make you cry in good tears or bad tears. It was good stuff. So, Ian, obviously, you start off with your plugs and then Adam follow right on up whenever he's done.
Well, I want to thank you, Evan, for having us on. It's great to be able to talk football and look ahead to what the 2020 regular season is going to produce, especially with these bizarre times right now of COVID-19 and safer at home orders. But you can follow me at Ian St. Clair, at Mile High Report, and our podcast is anywhere you get your podcast. So feel free to give it a listen and see what you think about Adam and I spewing nonsense on the Broncos.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. You can find me on Twitter at AdamMalnati16, MileHighReport.com, obviously, and then the MHR Radio podcast. Just look it up, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker. I don't know. There's so many of them out there. So, but yeah, you can check us out there. And this is, again, Evan, this is fun. We love talking about football. And so the opportunity to sit down and talk to somebody about a game that might actually happen at some point down the road is definitely something we're into.
It's exciting, but boys can only dream, can't they?
That's
yes.
Right.
Thanks again, guys. And again, that's Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair of Mile High Report and Mile High Radio. Guys, thank y'all once again so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Evan.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.